The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to think and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents.
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Thursday, December 30th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more. Podcast as the Normal Daily Audio Stash, followed by another hour of live Toker Talk Radio. Just for you, joining us live here on Stick'em at Normal Show Live. We're coming to you from beautiful Potland, Oregon, right here in Rolajay's Studios. We are a production of the Normal Foundation, and joining me here back early from his vacation, the pirate, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
You escaped Florida.
I did, in one piece, no less.
No doubt.
Didn't lose my eye or anything.
Didn't lose it. All the parts came back?
Yep, they came back. All was one piece.
So how was Florida?
I hated it.
I hated Florida. Well, there you go. No offense to the folks that live in Florida, but Ganja John is glad to be back.
I want my money back.
We're glad to have you back here. We've got ourselves a great ending of 2010 coming up over the next two shows here on Normal Show Live. Coming up on today's show, we are going to be giving you Normal's top 10 most important news stories in marijuana law reform over the past year. Today we'll get through number 10 through number 6. Tomorrow we'll give you number 5 through number 1. Also on today's show, we have your daily toker tune for Groovin' Thursday from John Doe Radio. We're going to be playing that song at 20 after. And then at 30 after, over the last 3 days, we've been doing the top 3 radical rants of the year. We're going to give you number 2 today. It's my look at the reefer madness of drug czar Gil Kerlikowske and former drug czar Bill Bennett on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. Yeah, Wolf Blitzer back in May. Then in hour 2, we're going to have a call-in from Derek Rosenzweig from Philly Normal. He's going to be telling us about some terrible bills that have been dropped by the Pennsylvania legislature, some really ridiculous stuff. We're going to take a photo look at the top 20 bongs of 2010, just for you webcam viewers here. That's why it's not in the first hour. It doesn't make much sense on a podcast. But those of you watching on the webcams on the live show, an hour or two, we'll do the top 20 bongs. And hopefully we'll also talk with John Doe a little later in the day as well, see how things are going down in the Rocky Mountains. For tomorrow, it's New Year's Eve. It's the last day of 2010. We will be doing a live show again with the top 5 news stories in marijuana law reform, the number 1 rant, and our Rockin' Friday tune from Herb Thrasher. It's going to be a good time. Also, for New Year's Eve, it's looking more and more likely there's going to be a party here at Rolajay Studios, so we might be ringing in the new year with you live across 4 time zones. We'll get more details later from Mrs. Radical. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Hi, it's a kite, everybody.
This drug in front of me is what they call marijuana.
If we had a dime for every dime bag bought in America, marijuana would be legal by now. Donate to Normal at NORML.org and support Normal Show Live. Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Cannabis Carrie has the days off. She's on vacation for the rest of 2010. I'm Radical Russ with your Normal Top 10 Events That Shaped Marijuana Policy. Direct from normal.org, we begin with our number 10 event. Drum roll, please. Oh,
it's not working.
Okay. There we go. All right. Normal. Normal. Take two. John's back in the studio. There we go. National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws launches the Normal Women's Alliance. This was January 7th of 2010. The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, the nation's oldest and most well-respected grassroots marijuana law reform organization, today announced the launch of the Normal Women's Alliance. The Normal Women's Alliance is a nonpartisan coalition of prominent, educated, successful, geographically diverse, high-profile professional women who believe that cannabis prohibition is a self-destructive and hypocritical policy that undermines the American family, sends a mixed and false message to our young people, and destroys the cherished principles of personal liberty and local self-government. Says Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre, quote, "The prominent role of women in the effort to end marijuana prohibition is pivotal, necessary, and long overdue. According to the recent national opinion polls by Gallup and others, the dramatic rise in the public support of marijuana law reform is being driven primarily by an increase in support among America's women. The Normal Women's Alliance will bring a contemporary approach to the public policy debate and will proudly represent the interests of modern mainstream women who believe that the negative consequences of marijuana prohibition far outweigh any repercussions from marijuana consumption itself," end quote. Charter members of the Normal Women's Alliance include Normal Foundation Chair and Film Producer Ann Dryan, attorney and political activist Jessica Corey, editor Shelby Sadler, best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, Cheryl Schumann from Daily Buds and Kush Magazine, Normal Foundation Board Member Geraldine Merritt, Esquire, cannabis activist and author Mickey Norris, Cannabis Action Network and Berkeley Patients Group founder Debbie Goldsberry, Normal Board Member and Director of Oregon Normal Madeline Martinez, Law Professor Marjorie Russell, and former ACLU President Nadine Strawson. This founding group of women also includes medical physicians, researchers, business leaders, editors, publishers, mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers. For more information on the Normal Women's Alliance, check out normal.org/women. Our number 9 issue in marijuana law reform for the year, Arizona becomes the 15th state to legalize limited medical use of marijuana. November 18, 2010. Arizona voters have narrowly passed a statewide ballot measure regulating the physician-supervised use of marijuana as a medicine. Election officials on Monday announced that Proposition 203, the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act, had gained 50.13% of the vote. The measure had been trailing in previous vote counts. The act removes state-level criminal penalties on the use and possession of up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana by patients who have, quote, written certification, end quote, from their physician indicating that cannabis may alleviate their condition. Patients diagnosed with the following illnesses are afforded legal protection under the law: cancer, glaucoma, positive status for HIV or AIDS, hepatitis C, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease, Crohn's disease, agitation of Alzheimer's disease, or any chronic and debilitating medical condition or its treatment that produces one or more of the following: cachexia, wasting syndrome, severe or chronic pain, severe nausea, seizures, including those characteristic of epilepsy, severe or persistent muscle spasms, including those characteristic of multiple sclerosis, persistent muscle spasms or seizures, severe nausea, or pain. Other conditions will be subject to approval by the Arizona Department of Health Services. Patients who are in compliance with the act may not be disciplined by employers, and they may not be criminally charged with DUI solely on the basis of the presence of inactive marijuana metabolites in their urine without further evidence of impairment. Under the law, the Arizona Department of Health Services has 120 days to adopt rules governing nonprofit dispensaries, which may produce and dispense marijuana to authorized patients on a not-for-profit basis. Neither patients nor their caregivers may legally cultivate marijuana under this act if they reside within 25 miles of an operating, state-licensed, not-for-profit dispensary. A spokesperson from the Arizona Department of Health Services told the Arizona Republic this week that the agency expects to begin authorizing the use and distribution of medical cannabis by April 2011. Arizona is the 15th state since 1996 to approve the medical use of marijuana and the 11th to do so by voter initiative. This is great news that we have our 15th state, and the best news in the Arizona Medical Marijuana Act is that part of the act that protects the workplace rights of patients and protects the driving rights of patients. This is something other medical marijuana states need to take a look at as they move forward. Our number 8 story in events in marijuana law reform for 2010, the United Kingdom approves marijuana spray as medicine. Prescription oral spray Sativex now available to patients. London, United Kingdom, June 24th. British health regulators on Friday approved the sale and marketing of Sativex, an oral spray consisting of natural cannabis extracts, primarily the plant cannabinoids THC and cannabidiol, aka CBD, as a treatment for the symptoms of multiple sclerosis. The spray, which has been legally available to patients in Canada since 2005, went on sale in Britain on Monday. The drug will be marketed in the United Kingdom by the Bayer Corporation, which estimates that Sativex will cost the country's state-run National Health Services roughly £11 or roughly $16 per day per patient. Commenting on the drug's regulatory approval, Normal Deputy Director Paul Armentano said, quote, "The approval of Sativex in the UK is newsworthy, though hardly surprising, as the scientific evidence in support of marijuana's medical safety and utility has been available for decades. However, the bigger question still remains. That is, how can the US government continue to promote a policy that calls for the arrest and prosecution of patients who use a substance that 15 states and much of the rest of the Western world now acknowledges as a safe and legitimate medicine?" End quote. In clinical trials, Sativex has been demonstrated to reduce MS-associated spasticity, pain, and incontinence. Long-term investigational trials indicate that the consistent use of cannabis-based medicine may also slow the progression of the disease. Surveys from the UK and elsewhere indicate that MS patients often report using cannabis therapeutically, with one study reporting that some 4 out of 10 patients with the disease find relief from marijuana. GW Pharmaceuticals, makers of the Sativex, is expected later this week to seek separate regulatory approval for the spray in Spain, France, Germany, and Italy. In 2006, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorized recruitment for the first-ever North American clinical trial of Sativex for cancer pain treatment. A Phase 3 trial is anticipated to begin in the U.S. later this year. Well, this is a very noteworthy event in marijuana law reform in 2010 that shows that the whole plant extract Sativex is gaining more and more regulatory approval. However, I think it's something we also need to pay close attention to in our continued portrayal of medical marijuana. If they are successful in marketing Sativex throughout Europe and these trials begin in the United States, within a decade or maybe 15 years or so, we could see the approval of these whole plant-based Sativex pharmaceuticals chemicals to the detriment of using medical marijuana. I can hear the opponents now saying, you don't need to have these grow sites anymore. You don't need to have these home grows that are subject to the strong arm break-in robberies. You don't need to have these dispensaries on every corner. Now you can get Sativex in the pharmacy. So while it is a noteworthy event, it does remind us that we need to keep moving forward to full legalization of the plant for all people before they run the back end and start putting the cannabis-based pharmaceuticals on the shelf and taking all the medical marijuana away. All right, our number seven story in the top 10 events in marijuana law reform in 2010, Normal Foundation to launch second New York City Times Square billboard ad campaign. The new ad debuts on April 20th on the CBS Super Screen. Washington, D.C. The Normal Foundation, the educational arm of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML, will debut its second ever digital ad this Thursday, 4/20, on the CBS Superscreen in New York City's Times Square. The animated billboard advertisement will highlight the dramatic increase in New York City's rate of marijuana possession arrests, which increased from fewer than 1,000 annually in 1992 to more than 46,000 in 2009. According to a 2008 study released by the New York Civil Liberties Union, city police have made an estimated 400,000 marijuana possession arrests over the past decade. The majority of citizens arrested for marijuana possession offenses are either African American or Hispanic. The ad concludes, "Legalize marijuana, stop arrests." Normal Foundation Executive Director Alan St. Pierre called the city's marijuana-centric arrest practices shameful and fiscally irresponsible. He said, quote, "Under state law, minor marijuana possession offenses are categorized as a violation, not a criminal offense. Yet, New York City police officers are effectively circumventing state law by charging tens of thousands of young adults each year with unnecessary criminal misdemeanors by claiming that the marijuana was possessed in plain view. This is a shameful and fiscally irresponsible policy that disproportionately targets minorities and does nothing to improve public safety. It is time for city law enforcement to stop wasting taxpayers' dollars and to abide by the state's long-standing decriminalization law." End quote. The Normal Foundation's new ad will appear 18 times per day on the CBS digital billboard located on 42nd Street between 7th and 8th Avenues. Approximately 1.5 million people walk by the billboard each day. In March, Normal launched a 15-second digital ad trumpeting the cost savings and tax revenue that could be generated by regulating and taxing adult marijuana use. That ad aired through April 19th. Normal's ad that began on April 20th ran through May 2010. And let me take a chance, a moment here, to show you the videos, just in case you're new to the show and you hadn't ever seen these before. There's no sound to them, so you'll just be seeing the video. But this is the first one. It's called the Normal Money Tree in Times Square. This is the Money Tree ad that we originally played on that billboard. You got to realize this super billboard is like 20 feet tall and 26 feet wide. It shows the marijuana tree that grows with little dollar signs on it and says, yes, money can grow on trees. And then legalize marijuana. Normal working to reform marijuana laws. We'll let this run through one more time for the folks watching on webcam. And then the second ad that ran on 420, we decided would be more toward what's going on in New York. And so this is the second ad that the story refers to about the pot bus in New York City up 4,600% from 1992 to 2009, with, of course, mostly black and brown faces that are the ones being arrested. Then it says, legalize marijuana, stop arrests, with the Normal logo and the phone number. So a very a powerful graph that ran through Times Square from 4/20 to 5/20 of this year. A major coup for Normal to get these ads on the air is our number seven story for 2010. And finally, our number six story for 2010, we will continue the rest of the countdown on tomorrow's show. But the number six story, California Supreme Court affirms that the state's pot possession limits are a floor, not a ceiling. San Francisco, California, January 28th, the California Supreme Court unanimously ruled on Thursday that the state's medical marijuana possession and cultivation guidelines enacted by the legislature in 2004 do not supersede the broader patient protections provided by California's Compassionate Use Act of 1996.
In the 53-page decision, the People versus Patrick Kelly, the court found that patients who possess quantities of medical cannabis above those recommended by the state's 2004 law, that being 6 mature or 12 immature plants and or 8 ounces, may still be afforded legal protections if this amount is, quote, related to meet the patient's current medical needs, end quote. The court determined, quote, whether or not a person entitled to register under the 2004 state law elects to do so, that individual, so long as he or she meets the definition of a patient or primary caregiver under the Compassionate Use Act, retains all the rights afforded by that act. Thus, such a person may assert as a defense in court that he or she possessed or cultivated an amount of marijuana reasonably related to meet his or her current medical needs, without reference to the specific quantities or limitations specified in the 2004 state law. Normal's Deputy Director Paul Armentano praised the court decision, quote, the ruling upholds the will of California's voters. In short, this decision affirms that California patients have a legal right to possess and use marijuana as a medicine in a way that is the best accordance with their therapeutic treatment, as decided by the court, consulting all of the evidence, not by state and local legislators, end quote. And again, People versus Kelly just tells us that those limits of 6 plants and 8 ounces are the minimum that you could have and definitely be considered a patient. You can still be considered a patient above that if your doctor says so.
What do you think about a break, Russ?
I think it's time for a proper break with Ganja John. It's been tough having breaks all by myself.
I bet.
We'll be right back with our Daily Toker Tunes and John Doe Radio.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show in Denver, Colorado. Accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
John Doe Radio. John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. I hope you had a very Merry Christmas. I hope the new year brings fantasticness in your direction. On Normal Show Live for your Thursday tune, this afternoon we have Asher Roth and DJ Recognize. It's off of the mixtape Seared, and I don't know if I'm getting this right or not, so don't hold me to this. Seared, and why name your mixtape this anyway? Seared Foie Gras with Quincy and Cranberry. Quincy and Cranberry? Seared foie gras? I don't know. Anyway, the point is, it's a dope tune. The song is called Hot Wangs, and we got to see Asher Roth at KushCon this past before weekend of this last weekend. And it was good times. Radical Russ Belleville and John Doe Radio, Normal Show Live and John Doe Radio broadcast the whole time, had great coverage. Like I said, Asher Roth there, big time cannabis fan. It was like viewing a nerdy hip-hop rap, two white guys rapping, doing their thing, but, you know, in that, to be politically correct extremely here, in that white guy kind of way. Anyway, I'm going to leave while I'm on top. Thank you guys again very much. I cannot thank you enough. Russ, you rock. Ganja John, I can't wait to meet you in April. You better get out to your Normal Con in April, Denver. Till we meet again, I'm John Doe. See ya.
Yeah. A little marijuana. I'm waking at the crack of dawn. Take a hit out of the bong. Cause you know I got a pot thing. Pot thing. Pot thing. Pot thing. Word. Now I'm stoning and all alone. It's like 3 up in the morning. East Coast. So you know I need some hot wings. Some chopsticks from a low main. Word. Grab a bowl of cereal, maybe make a sandwich or whatever's left over from last night's fast life, escargot, rap tight, backed by best live show, roll with the punch, just going with the flow, it's whatever for a second, I'm just getting in the zone, I'm Mick Jagger, I'm never even home, ever since I pulled the sword from the stone, left a note, told mama to know, when she asked my ass to be back for the show, nope, gotta work, but maybe for dessert, it's a whole lot of hours when you take over the earth, it hurts being so damn good, it gets worse, pervert like a big old chest and wet shirt, no sex yet, let's get to head first, cause when I go to third, I slide in head first, ready set, bet I spit the best verse, when I get up on the record, I'ma make your neck work, my net worth is invested in the words, obsessed with a text, yeah I love literature, but it burns, rap's getting on my nerves, everything nowadays watered down for the herbs. The real shit seems to stand in the dirt, swept under the rug, left under the curb, cause not yet, just resting in the burbs, take a deep breath before getting back to work, but now it's back on, taking out the wax off, all for the love of the Ash Roth, chilling in the backyard, kicking it with hacksaw, he's an alcoholic with a bad cough, it doesn't matter, he's an asshole. But plenty of us who make bad calls, but only one can change the outcome, so change it now before change is outdone. Mind over matter, but with money on my mind, I can't think of nothing, such a funny design, yeah, one of a kind, taking one at a time, let them in upon the secret that we free as a fly, free as a freestyle that be on the fly, fees on my freeze now, got a G on the
you
side.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Tucker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media, and then Tucker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Welcome back, Tokers and Tokettes. Hey, we're ending up 2010 with the best radical rants of 2010 as determined by a vote of me. That's basically, I just looked through them and I decided, you know, what are the ones that kind of stand the test of time? There was a lot of good rants during the Prop 19, you know, and the Dragonfly stuff, and that was all good. But I didn't pick any of those because I think they're kind of dated and, you know, unnecessary at some point. But these couple that I've been playing here, I think are good ones for the year that illustrate, they're kind of timeless and they illustrate the reefer madness that goes on, no matter what year it is. So, for that, I'm bringing you the number 2 rant, which isn't technically a rant.
rant. It's a Reefer Madness segment that I did when the CNN Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer hosted the current drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske, and the Reagan drug czar, Bill Bennett, on their show. And point by point, piece by piece, I tear apart their rhetoric in a little Reefer Madness segment. This will take us out through the rest of the show. And in hour two, we'll bring you the talk about the top 20 bongs, and we'll talk with Derek from Philly Normal on the new bills in Pennsylvania. But for now, this is Gil Kerlikowske and Bill Bennett with Wolf Blitzer on the Situation Room with their Reefer Madness.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
All right, everybody, welcome back, and we're going into Reefer Madness today to look at CNN's Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer. This last Friday, his guests were drug czar Gil Kerlikowske and former first drug czar ever, drug czar Bill Bennett. On CNN's Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer, this is courtesy of MoxNews.com.
America has a huge drug problem, but the Obama administration now wants to end what's been called the war on drugs and start treating this as a public health matter. I sat down with the current drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske. He's director of the Office of National Drug Policy, and with CNN contributor Bill Bennett. He was the first drug czar back in the George H.W. Bush administration. Does the change in focus suggest the government is open to legalizing marijuana?
No, legalization is an absolute non-starter in the Obama administration.
All right, before we go much further, let's pause here with our drug czar, Gil Kerlikowske, because I'd like to remind folks that the drug czar is required by law to lie. And we're looking at this right now in the cam here. According to Title VII, the Office of National Drug Control Policy Reauthorization Act of 1998, responsibilities of the director, that's the drug czar, shall ensure that no federal funds appropriated to the Office of National Drug Control Policy shall be expended for any study or contract relating to the legalization for a medical use or any other use of a substance listed in Schedule 1 of the Controlled Substances Act. That would be marijuana, among others. And to take such actions as necessary to oppose any attempt to legalize the use of a substance in any form that is listed in Schedule 1 and has not been approved for medical purposes by the Food and Drug Administration. Take any such actions as necessary to oppose any attempt to legalize marijuana. So remember, that's Gil Kerlikowske's job description. All right, let's go back to the video.
And it just makes no sense. But what we do know, so there are a lot of people frustrated about the war on drugs. They don't see success. They know friends, they know relatives, they know what's happened in their own neighborhoods. We're going to bring some other people into this issue at the same level that we have law enforcement. That's where we're headed.
Because the argument.
Let's talk about why the American people are so frustrated about this war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. I'll put a graph up here on the screen. You can see this is a graph of all American wars. Now, in the first set of bars here, you're seeing the wars in the 18th and 19th century, all combined. Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Mexican-American War, and so on. All the wars in our first two centuries were 17 years and 2 months worth of total time. We moved to the 20th and 21st century wars, and including Vietnam, Afghanistan, Iraq, and World War I, World War II, the total of all those wars lasted 33 years and 1 month. The war on drugs has been going on now for 40 years, longer than all American wars in the 20th and 21st century combined, with no results.
In favor of legalizing marijuana is sort of this. We legalize the alcohol, we regulate it, people deal with it. Why not do the same thing with marijuana? As a result, open up efforts to deal with much more serious drug-related issues like heroin, for example.
You know, as a police chief for a long time, I never saw officers in Seattle running around spending an inordinate amount of time chasing people for a small amount of marijuana.
This is one thing drug warriors say that just blows my mind. Marijuana is this terribly dangerous drug. We just absolutely can't legalize it. But we really don't spend a lot of time going after people who are breaking that law.
It's either illegal and dangerous or it's not illegal and dangerous, right? Pick here, pick and choose. And when he says that the cops in Seattle weren't running around doing that, well, part of that is because the voters of Seattle approved an initiative that made the enforcement of marijuana laws the lowest police priority. I'll tell you what, Seattle ain't Columbia, Missouri, that's for sure, where a man just had his dog shot and killed in front of his seven-year-old. We showed that video all week. Let me give you some graphs, too, as well, to kind of illustrate exactly who's getting arrested here. First of all, when we look at arrests for all drugs, marijuana, the green part of this pie graph, make up almost half, 49% of all arrests in the war on drugs are arrests for marijuana. 44% of all arrests in the war on drugs are for marijuana possession, not dealing, not growing, mere possession of marijuana. And the drug czar wants you to believe that they really don't spend a lot of time going around and arresting people for marijuana. Well, who are these half of all the people arrested for drugs being arrested for marijuana? Another chart is the chart of how many total arrests we've had for marijuana. This is from 1990 all the way to 2008. Unless you think this is a Republican or a Democrat issue, Clinton and George W. Bush, both eight-year presidents, locked up about the same number or arrested about the same number of marijuana consumers. With a total of 847,000 arrests for marijuana last year from the Obama administration.
We know that the health costs of alcohol, the health costs of nicotine versus the taxes collected doesn't even begin to pay for those social and criminal justice costs.
Oh, yeah. And you know why? Because marijuana ain't alcohol and tobacco. Alcohol is toxic. It can kill you and it's addictive. Tobacco is toxic. It can kill you and it's addictive. But let's just take a look at some more data on this, because Canada took a look at this. Canada took a look and asked, what does it cost per user per year of three selected substances? Here on the left, we see tobacco, $800 worth of healthcare costs per user per year in Canada. Alcohol here, the middle one, $165 worth of healthcare costs per user per year. You can barely see it here on the right, but cannabis, that little $20 figure, yeah, that's right, $20 per user per year in health care costs for cannabis. So it's no surprise that the taxes on tobacco and alcohol don't make up the health care costs, because there are so many health care costs associated with alcohol and tobacco. Meanwhile, with cannabis, this other bar you're seeing is the $328 per user per year that Canada spends on keeping cannabis illegal. That's right, we're spending $328 a year to save $20.
Why have another mood-altering drug made legal and then more widely available because of its legality?
Well, would you want to criminalize?
More widely available. Well, let's take a look at some more graphs here. Here's some graphs about teenagers in the 8th grade, the 10th grade, and the 12th grade, when surveyed on how easy it is for them to get a hold of marijuana, 37% of 8th graders, 69% of 10th graders, and a full 83.9% of 12th graders say it is easy or fairly easy to get marijuana. And when we take a look at the use rates from different countries, in the United States, 41.8% of all adult Americans have tried marijuana. In the Netherlands, where marijuana is somewhat tolerated, it's only 19%. Here's another look at how available marijuana is. They talk about, you know, whether or not we're going to allow another drug. Well, folks, guess what? Marijuana's already here. In this chart, you can see from the ages of 18 to 25, 28% of the population uses marijuana at least once per year, with 11% of them using at least twice per week. At the ages 26 to 34, it's almost 14%. 35 to 49, 8%. And people 50 and over, the fastest growing segment of people that are using marijuana, a full 3% of them are already using marijuana. When we look at the overall use of marijuana, how many people have actually ever tried marijuana? In 1987, it was 50 million people. Last year, it was 102 million total marijuana users. Now, of course, the population has gone up, but as a percentage, the percentage of people who have used marijuana has gone from 28% to 41%. So the only question now is not whether or not we're going to allow something, because it's already happening. The question is the state going to control it, or are criminals going to control it?
Legalize alcoholic use?
No, I'm not going back down that path, but I don't think that we need another thing that causes so much hurt to families and people.
Is this a waste of resources, though, to spend so much
law enforcement, judicial effort, criminalizing people who want to go out and smoke pot?
No, we had 40,000 people die last year because of drug use. We can make that 80,000 or 120 or 360,000 by making it legal. You make it legal.
Wait a minute. We're talking about making marijuana legal. You want to talk about people who have died from drug use, the 20,000, the 80,000, 360,000. Of that number, zero would be people who had died from marijuana use. Marijuana is non-toxic. It cannot kill you.
You make it more accessible. You get permission for it. Alcohol is legal. We have plenty of alcoholics. We have plenty of people whose lives are wrecked, plenty of families whose lives are wrecked because of alcohol.
Because there's one argument.
You know, I'll testify to that. My father was an alcoholic, and my family was severely harmed by alcohol. So, Bill Bennett, why weren't you calling for prohibition of alcohol when you were a drug czar back in the 80s? Why isn't the harm that's demonstrated by alcohol proven? Everyone knows how much harm it can cause. Why isn't that an argument for prohibiting that?
Argument that alcohol is potentially a lot more dangerous than marijuana.
It may be. I think if you really examine the arguments, you might want to think about more restrictions on alcohol than opening up marijuana. When you see the effect of marijuana on the brain, particularly the young
brain.
You
don't want to go back to prohibition.
I don't want to go back to prohibition, but I certainly think the rules on drinking, if they were enforced, for example, on college campuses, where we know what this leads to from time to time, leads to a lot of things every weekend, but some weekends it leads to some of the horrible violence we've seen.
Well, that is true. We do know on college campuses that binge drinking, alcohol leads to student deaths, to date rapes, to drunk driving, to assaults, to vandalism, and so on. But when you look at college campuses, I just recently did a story on Notre Dame's policies, but this, you know, Notre Dame's not unique by any stretch of the imagination. Look at the policies for underaged alcohol abuse. Remember, below age 21, alcohol's an illegal drug for you, and the punishments for cannabis. Almost always on any college campus, if you're caught with marijuana, you're kicked out of the dorm, you lose your scholarships. These terrible punishments are exacted upon you, not to mention the Souder amendments that take away your student loans at the federal level. But when you look at underage punishment for alcohol, in the case of Notre Dame, it would take multiple repeated offenses of being intoxicated and causing problems before they might consider suspending the student. But if they catch him with cannabis, they will suspend the student. So, yeah, there's one thing that Bill Bennett's pointing out there. So, Bill, why don't we make cannabis legal so these college students who are so tempted to drink and do all of that stuff, why don't we give them the chance to use marijuana instead?
Let me just say a word about the war on drugs, properly understood, not to get into a war with Gil Kerlikowski about the phrase. But if you energize people, motivate people, if you talk about this issue, as Gil Kerlikowski has and will, I don't think the president has enough at all, and I think he should, you can have success. Remember, in 1979, there were about 24 million drug users in this country. This country decided to do something about it. There was a drug czar appointed. The country mobilized. The number in 1992 was 11 million. That's not victory, but from 24 million to 11 million is a big decline. It's now back up to 20 million.
So this is something that Bill Bennett was always really good at, and that's throwing numbers at you to try to confuse you and make you think that his point has any sort of sense to it. 24 million drug users in 1979, 11 million by 1992. It'd be just as relevant to say there were 24 million people wearing bell bottoms in 1979 and only 11 million by 1992. The correlation here is ridiculous because what he's doing is only picking the very peak of drug use in 79 and comparing it to the very lowest drug use measured in 1992. If we take a look at the war on drugs strategy, however, that's been enacted since 1970, the days of Richard Nixon, we had more drug users going on in 1970, and it increased to 24 million by 1979. So how come the drug war wasn't successful then, when it went up from 1970 to 79? Now, he's going to say the drug war was successful from 79 to 92, probably owing to the fact that he worked for Reagan and also Bush the Smarter. So he's going to point out those 12 years as being effective. But let's also point out that in those years, they were also introducing the crack cocaine dilemma in this country. And that's when our show usually ends. That's okay. We'll turn off the alarm. Go to sleep, you. Thank you. Too many gadgets. But they want to point out that during the Reagan years, it went down from 24 million to 11 million. But after Bush the Smarter left office, Clinton was in office using the same exact strategies of locking people up and drug use went up in all characteristics. Let me go to the graphs here so you can just take a look at the actual numbers. This is a 20-year graph of cannabis use, the three different lines representing the annual, the monthly, and the lifetime use. So lifetime's at the top, and then annual, and then monthly's at the bottom. All of these graphs have trended upwards or stayed the same since 1988. So over the past two decades, marijuana use has either gone up or stayed the same depending on the frequency with which you measure. When we take a look at the other illegal drugs that they are typically focusing on, we look at cocaine, heroin, crack, hallucinogens, meth, and inhalants, you can see how this graph has also tended to trend upward over the past two decades. That's right, two decades of trending upwards in both of these graphs. So while Bill Bennett wants to make you think that the drug war strategy worked, he's only picking the point in the graph where drug use went down and saying that's where it was successful, and not pointing out that they've used the same strategies for 40 years of the drug war, and we still have just about or more the same number of drug users.
And I think if you press right on this thing, don't call fall for the siren song of legalization. And I applaud the drug czar on that, and going out to California and fighting this issue. You can get those numbers back down. And that's what you want. You want the numbers down, not up.
Let me pick up with.
Okay, let's say that we do want to see the numbers of drug users going down. Certainly for hard drugs, I'd appreciate that. For cannabis, I don't care whether it stays the same, goes down, or goes up, since cannabis is non-toxic to its users and pretty much harmless to society. But let's actually take a look at government policies that have caused drug use to gone down. This is the graph of alcohol cigarette use in America. Red lines for alcohol use, purple lines for cigarette use. All of these lines have gone downwards. The tobacco lines have gone downwards because of a public service campaign against tobacco, the lawsuits against the tobacco companies that helped to fund things like truth.org, getting out the actual scientific facts about tobacco. The red lines for alcohol use have gone down, partially because of the Mothers Against Drunk Driving campaigns and the public campaigns for increased safety, but also just because people are realizing that drinking has harmful side effects if you engage in it too much. Notice both of these are the legal drugs, and nobody had to be arrested or have their lives ruined and their property taken away from them in order to get those numbers to go down.
One point that Bill just made, in your mind, and you're an authority on this, is alcohol potentially more dangerous than pot?
Two points. One, alcohol does cause more problems than marijuana, but alcohol is legal. If you make marijuana legal...
Minute. Okay, so he's trying to tell us that alcohol is more harmful because it's legal, or it's harmful but it's legal so we don't have to pay attention to it. Again, if alcohol is harmful like you're saying it is, then why not ban it? Because apparently that's our policy. We ban things that are harmful. You're claiming marijuana is so harmful. If alcohol is harmful, then why aren't you banning it? No, the reason alcohol is more dangerous has nothing to do whether it's legal or illegal. If you drink a quart of whiskey, you will die whether that whiskey is legal or illegal. Alcohol is more dangerous because it is toxic, and it is because it is highly impairing, and because it is addictive.
It will therefore become much more widely available, and therefore the damages and detriment to society and to individuals would continue to increase. But let me mention also, President Obama is actively engaged in this. When I met with him and he gave me some directions to get the voice of the American people into this strategy, that's what's in there. When I briefed him a week ago about the strategy, he could not be more supportive.
Well, let's look at this strategy. First of all, how could marijuana be any more available than it is now? Like I said in the earlier slide, we've got 84% of our high school seniors saying it is easy or fairly easy to get marijuana. In report after report from government sources, teenagers say it is easier to get a hold of marijuana than it is to get a hold of alcohol. We find that 69% of high school seniors say they could get marijuana within a day. 25% of them say they could get marijuana within an hour. So how much more available is it going to be when we start checking IDs like we do for alcohol and tobacco, which kids say are harder to get a hold of? And furthermore, about this strategy and more countries going on, I'd encourage everyone to check out normal.org, and there's a paper that Paul Armentano has written called The Real World Ramifications of Cannabis Legalization and Decriminalization. This actually takes a look at the countries and the states that have reduced penalties, decriminalized, or somewhat tolerated or legalized, like they have in the Netherlands, the use of cannabis, and the facts are in. and shows no major increase in use and a lot of decrease in the harms that we associate with marijuana, the crimes and so on.
We reduce the demand for illegal drugs in the United States.
Smart education through a variety of trusted givers.
Nancy Reagan used to say, just say no.
She did. And you know, it's a little more complex than that. If parents, teachers, faith community, and neighborhood groups all give young people the same consistent message and they repeat it about making healthy choices, underage drinking is mentioned in the strategy, the drug problems, and of course, if they get healthy choice advice about exercise, nutrition, they will actually be prevented in the future.
Okay, all of those things are good. We want kids to get more education about harmful drugs, alcohol, nicotine, smoking, healthy lifestyle choices, exercise, nutrition, and so on. But like we pointed out at the beginning, the drug czar is required by law to lie about marijuana. So the education that he can give about marijuana, if he was to give factual information about its health benefits, how it can be used for all of the uses that hemp would provide, all the medical benefits we can get for it, the nutrition of hemp seed, my God, if he was to point out all of that, it would be obvious to our school children that the keeping it illegal is not any sort of consistent strategy from our government.
Okay, sir.
Well, we've only kept it to 4 hours in a healthcare class about drugs and maybe 4 hours about nicotine. It has to be across the whole continuum.
I remember when I was a little boy growing up in Buffalo, New York, I heard all those stories, the horrors of drugs, and we were taught that, and I assume since then all the kids are taught about
it. One, we don't want to use scare tactics, and number two, we want to use the evidence-based systems, and that's what the most recent analysis tells us. Across the board.
Well, we would love to see some evidence-based education when it comes to drugs. That would be really nice, especially with regard to marijuana. But don't be fooled by the drug czar's rhetoric here. They keep talking about how they want to have a balanced approach. They want to put more toward prevention, more toward treatment. We've got to treat it holistically. You're going to hear a lot of that. But this graph will just show you. It's not really a graph. It's more of a chart here. This is the Obama balanced approach to drug war funding when you actually take a look at the numbers in the budget. Treatment and prevention get $5.6 billion in the Obama drug war budget. Law enforcement and interdiction get $9.9 billion. It's a nearly 2-to-1 ratio, just like it was during the W. Bush administration, just like it was during the Clinton administration. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Board, quality advisors giving kids the right piece of information.
Is this going to make a dent?
It does. If you do it, I agree again, across the board. And Nancy Reagan's statements were underrated. A lot of the kids liked those statements. They liked because it was clear. Just say no. It's a heck of a lot better statement than if it feels good, do it. It's a lot.
Okay, wait a minute. Who was putting out, if it feels good, do it? Are you trying to throw that on us at Normal or any of the drug law reform organizations? No. Look, the Nancy Reagan just say no era, those messages have been studied. The fried egg, you know, this is your brain on drugs, the running over the girl at the drive-thru, the shooting your friend with the pistol.
The cartoon all-stars.
It's all been debunked, and it has been found that the government spent money, billions of dollars, on these programs. And not only did they not dissuade kids from using drugs, in some cases, it enticed them into using drugs. Those ads were a failure, and Bill Bennett is calling for more of the same.
That's a lot clearer. You want that statement, but you also want sound education programs and sound policies in the schools. Problem is, kids get a message of ambiguity from adults. And when you have this legalization stupidity out there, you're going to have more young people confused.
Other than...
Okay, let me address this legalization stupidity. This is a chart showing you the support for marijuana legalization in poll after poll. The green line indicates the rising support of people that say we should legalize marijuana. The red line shows the declining support for keeping it prohibited like it is now. So if you're talking about legalization stupidity, you're talking about 43% of the American people that are stupid. Also, I'd kind of like to point out the drug war budgets here. You know, Bill Bennett's got 50, or the drug czar and the entire federal government have $15.5 billion to spend on the drug war. By comparison, those of us who are doing drug law reform, I've got the graph up now. This red line indicates the billions of dollars that the $15.5 billion that the federal government has to spread their message about the drug war. Meanwhile, we have maybe combined from all drug war, drug reform policy organizations, NORML, MPP, DPA, SAFER, SSDP, ASA, and so on, we might have $1 million between us. So for some reason, our message with only $1 million worth of funding has caused 43% of the American people to buy into this so-called legalization stupidity, while $15.5 billion spent by the federal government has shown nothing but increasing rates of drug use, have shown the increasing purity of hard drugs, a decrease in the price of hard drugs, and 23,000 Mexicans slaughtered south of our border to maintain this prohibition on marijuana.
You don't like that you're not hearing enough directly from the president on this
right.
issue. Is there any basic problem you have with the Obama administration's efforts to deal with this issue?
No, not really. Again, I'd like more attention, more publicity. There are a lot of things going on. We understand what competes for attention. But this strategy, if people read it, I think would be very impressive. It's a clear moral message, and it talks about working on a variety of fronts. I think it's quite good. But what you had back in the 80s was...
Let's go back to this more about that he expects more from President Obama on this war against drugs. This might be kind of tough when President Obama said this.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
That was the point. So we're not talking about a guy that, you know, just puffed once, experimented with it. This is a guy who had some real experience with using marijuana. He's also quoted as saying that he wanted us to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws. So maybe President Obama's not the best guy to put on the bully pulpit for Just Say No.
Was an entire society mobilized, and this is what leadership does. You did have all those ads. The guy jumping off the diving board into an empty swimming pool. This is your brain on drugs. This is the two fried eggs. Because the society decided it wanted to push back.
Public service.
It pushed
back, see more
it went down, and we can do that again.
No, again, like I pointed out, those ads were shown to be failures in keeping kids off drugs. But let's also remember what was going on in the 80s with the CIA and the Contras and funneling cocaine into America, the crack cocaine epidemic, when every newscaster was coming on the air and the president was coming on the air saying, this is the big new drug. It's called crack. It will get you really, really, really high. It's super addictive. It's really cheap. So don't use it. Whatever you do, don't use the crack. It's really, really, really powerful. Don't use it. Basically an advertising campaign for crack cocaine that caused us to have so much problems in the cities and problems with crack addiction that all drugs got demonized as a matter of course. They said, oh, marijuana would lead to crack. Look how bad crack is. That's been shown to be false as well. We find that for every 108 people who ever use marijuana, only one goes on to use any other sort of hard drug.
They're coming
yeah,
up.
The president asked for $66 million in those advertisements, and those advertisements are directed towards specific groups. In fact, just last week, we released the strategies for meth on reservations in tribal nations for those kids. Those are targeted directly to that youth group, and we're going to continue to do those things.
Well, that's a wonderful program. Absolutely. Let's target meth abuse on Native American reservations. But remember, Gil, every single dollar you spend fighting against marijuana, fighting against legalization, trying to prevent people from using cannabis in their own personal private lives, every dollar you spend on pot is a dollar you're not spending to help Native American youth to get off meth. It's a dollar you're not spending to help people in the cities get off crack cocaine. It's a dollar that you're not spending to help junkies in the inner city with some sort of heroin treatment. It's a dollar that you're not spending on people getting alcohol treatment. It's a bed in a treatment facility that's filled with a marijuana offender who had to choose between jail or rehab, a bed that could better be served for somebody with a serious drug addiction rather than someone who's only doing time there to stay out of incarceration. You are wasting our money every year. You are wasting lives every year. The prohibition of marijuana hurts people even that don't smoke marijuana. It's time to end this. The American people are on our side, and we are going to continue with legalization. Drug czars be damned.
And there you have it, the number two radical rant. It's a rant and a reefer madness all wrapped into one. It's good listening to that stuff from the past. That's from May 27th from the CNN Situation Room, one of my favorite ones there. And it reminds me that I've got to go find a lot of those graphs and get those updated. Some of them that I mentioned, I haven't seen them in a long time, and I've got to get the new numbers put onto them. You may have seen also the numbers were different with the graphs I was putting up. Those are from some of the new numbers, the FBI's Uniform Crime Report from 2009. And the Monitoring the Future survey from 2009 that just recently came out. There was also a story that I did yesterday, and it's up on our blog at stash.normal.org about the recent TEDS data. That's the treatment episode data set. This is where they track people that are going into rehab, and it, you know, folds in really well with that last part of the rant about a bed that's being taken up for a marijuana user that's not being given to someone who really needs it, so who really wants to get treatment. And they're trying to point out from 98 through 2008 how fewer people are going to treatment for alcohol and 30% more are going into treatment for marijuana, as if this is a good thing, as if this is something we should be proud of. They noted that the rate of people that are going in for treatment is still the same at about 740 people per 100,000 inhabitants, right? So it's adjusted for population. It doesn't matter if the population goes up. The same number of people still tend to go into rehab, the same rate of people. But there's 15% less of them that are going in for alcohol and 30% more that are going in for marijuana. And, you know, we pointed out yesterday that this is just because the arrests in the same period, 1998 to 2008, went up 24%. And the number of drug courts went up six times. So, yeah, there's more people in rehab for marijuana. Not because they themselves thought, oh, my God, the super killer skunk, I got to go into rehab. No, because the criminal justice system is putting them there. And the evidence is there also when they show the people going into rehab for marijuana, 37% of them haven't used marijuana in the past 30 days, and 57% of them are there because the criminal justice system forced them there. It's a sad part of the whole drug war, pharmaceutical, rehab industrial complex, and we'll be talking more about it in 2011, you can be sure. Join us tomorrow for our New Year's Eve show, me and Ganja John, with the top five normal events in marijuana law reform and the number one rant of 2010. What will it be? Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. Take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes downstairs.